Iran's Hormuz chokehold triggers historic weapons surge to Gulf partners by US. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde. And number 9,650, the State Department approved more than $8 billion in arms transfers to Gulf nations following Iran and #X27's closure of the Strait of Hormuz in late February 2026 and establishment of a toll collection scheme. The U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control warned on May 1 that shipping firms and operators paying Iran for safe passage through the strait could face secondary sanctions, a move affecting non-American companies operating in energy, banking, and mining sectors. Japan announced a $10 billion Power Asia initiative in response to the blockade, with Vietnam likely to receive crude oil under the program, signaling a permanent shift toward diversifying energy supplies away from Gulf dependence. President Trump rejected Iran and #X27's 14-point peace proposal on May 2, stating Tehran has and #X27, not yet paid a big enough price, and #X27, indicating Washington and #X27's preference for military deterrence through armed Gulf allies over negotiated settlements. The State Department approved more than $8 billion in arms transfers to Gulf nations, a defensive posture shift that arrives as Washington simultaneously tightens economic pressure on Tehran and navigates the most dangerous period in Persian Gulf shipping since the Iran-Iraq War. The timing is no coincidence. Iran's effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz in late February 2026 and its subsequent toll collection scheme have forced a rethink of regional security architecture, with U.S. allies now positioned as the primary guarantors of energy corridor access. The arms package details were not disclosed, but the scale exceeds the typical quarterly flow to Gulf Cooperation Council members. The approval comes as the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control warned shipping firms on May 1 that payments to Iran for safe passage through the strait could trigger secondary sanctions, a move that former Treasury sanctions investigator Jeremy Painter called the most significant one for non-American companies in decades. The threat applies to oil and gas operators, mining companies, and banks that previously segregated their Iran-facing operations from U.S. exposure. President Donald Trump rejected an Iranian 14-point proposal to end hostilities on May 2, stating Tehran has not yet paid a big enough price for its actions. The three-week ceasefire remains in place, but Trump's skepticism suggests Washington views military readiness among Gulf partners as the durable solution, not negotiated settlements. The Gulf calculus has changed. Iran's naval blockade demonstrated that a fifth of global oil and natural gas flows can be disrupted with relatively modest force projection. The U.S. response, combining arms sales with secondary sanctions, signals a strategic bet: empower regional allies to deter future closures rather than rely solely on American naval presence. The strait is economic choke point. Iran closed the strait to normal traffic on February 28, 2026, attacking and threatening commercial vessels before establishing a toll system for ships willing to use alternate routes closer to Iranian waters. The blockade's economic impact rippled globally. Japan announced a $10 billion partnership on Wide Energy and Resources Resilience, Power, Asia initiative in response, designed to help Asian neighbors secure energy supplies and offset Middle East disruptions. Vietnam is likely to receive crude oil under the program, according to Japanese Prime Minister Takaichi Sanae during her Hanoi visit on May 2. The power initiative reveals a second-order effect: energy importers are diversifying away from Gulf dependence, reducing the long-term strategic value of the strait even if normal traffic resumes. Japan is simultaneously pursuing rare earth supply chains with Vietnam to reduce reliance on China. The shift represents a permanent recalibration, not a temporary hedge. Shipping companies now face a binary choice: pay Iran's tolls and risk OFAC sanctions, or reroute entirely and absorb higher costs. Neither option restores the pre-blockade equilibrium. The U.S. arms sales to Gulf nations, then, are not about restoring the old order but establishing a new one where regional powers bear the defense burden. Cuba precedent, secondary sanctions playbook. Trump's May 1 executive order broadening sanctions against Cuba provides a template for the Iran strategy. The Cuba order targets any foreign person operating in energy, defense, metals and mining, financial services, or security sectors of the Cuban economy, with authorization for secondary sanctions against facilitators. Cuba's Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez rejected the measures, calling them collective punishment that violates the UN Charter. The parallel is instructive. The Cuba sanctions aim to isolate Havana by penalizing third parties, not just direct Cuban entities. Applying this framework to Iran means shipping firms, insurers, and commodity traders face sanctions exposure even if they never touch U.S. soil. Painter's assessment that companies carefully segregated their Cuba operations from the United States are no longer protected applies equally to Iran-facing businesses. Gulf arms sales fit this coercive diplomacy model. If commercial vessels cannot safely transit without sanctions risk, military assets become the only reliable guarantors of access. The $8 billion package likely includes naval systems, air defense platforms, and intelligence-sharing infrastructure to create an alternative security umbrella. The Power Initiative and Supply Chain Sovereignty. Japan's Power Program and Vietnam Cooperation Agreement, announced during Takaichi's May 2 to 4 Hanoi visit, illustrate how energy importers are responding. The two nations signed 6 agreements covering infrastructure, agriculture, and space cooperation, with economic security designated as a new priority area for bilateral cooperation. Takaichi stated both sides agreed to strengthen close coordination to ensure stable supplies and reinforce supply chains for critical minerals. Vietnam holds large rare earth reserves but lacks processing capacity. Japan brings technology and capital. The arrangement mirrors China's Belt and Road playbook but with a security overlay, diversify suppliers, localize supply chains, and reduce exposure to choke points like the Strait. The $10 billion power budget is modest compared to regional energy import values, suggesting it functions more as seed capital for infrastructure than direct commodity purchasing. The implication for Gulf states, their energy dominance is under structural threat. If Japan can source crude from alternative suppliers and critical minerals from Vietnam, the Gulf's leverage diminishes. U.S. arms sales may be compensatory, a way to maintain alliance commitments even as the economic rationale weakens. Trump's sanctions expansion, Cuba and Iran. Trump's Cuba sanctions executive order, signed May 1, expands targets to include agents, officials or supporters of the government, plus anyone complicit in corruption or serious human rights violations. The language is deliberately broad, creating legal uncertainty that chills third-party engagement. Rodriguez's protest that the U.S. has no right whatsoever to impose measures against third countries or entities when unheeded. Iran faces a similar squeeze. The OFAC advisory on Strait tolls does not explicitly designate new entities but warns of sanctions for conducting or facilitating transactions with blocked parties. The effect is a compliance freeze. Risk-averse firms will avoid the region entirely rather than navigate ambiguous legal exposure. The Gulf arms sales provide an alternative mechanism. If U.S. allies can credibly deter Iranian aggression, commercial traffic resumes without toll payments, and the sanctions threat becomes moot. The strategy assumes Gulf militaries can achieve what U.S. naval presence did not, prevent the blockade from recurring. Key figure, the State Department approved over $8 billion in arms sales to Gulf nations, coinciding with new sanctions threats against firms paying Iranian Strait of Hormuz tolls. The timing suggests a coordinated strategy to shift regional defense burdens to U.S. allies while isolating Tehran economically. The Plaquemines view the $8 billion arms package as not a one-time response but the opening salvo in a structural shift. The U.S. is outsourcing Gulf security to regional partners while focusing on sanctions enforcement and alternative supply chain development. This is not retreat but reallocation. The Power Initiative, Japan-Vietnam Cooperation, and Cuba Sanctions Playbook all point to the same doctrine. Use economic coercion and allied military capacity to achieve objectives that direct U.S. intervention cannot. The investment thesis here turns on whether Gulf states can credibly deter Iran without continuous U.S. naval backstopping. Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Qatar have capital and motivation but lack operational experience against a peer adversary. The $8 billion likely includes training, integration, and command and control systems, not just hardware. Success depends on absorption capacity, and Gulf militaries have historically struggled with complex weapons integration. The second-order play is in defense contractors and logistics firms. If Gulf states are building out sovereign defense capabilities, the service contracts will be long duration and high margin. Look for increased activity from prime contractors with Middle East footprints and firms specializing in sustainment and training. The shift from U.S. force projection to allied capacity building is a secular trend, accelerated by the Strait closure. Energy importers are the other beneficiaries. Japan's power program and Vietnam rare earth deal signal a permanent diversification away from Gulf dependence. Firms positioned in alternative supply chains, particularly in Southeast Asia, gain strategic value. The market has not yet priced in the durability of this shift, assuming normal Strait traffic will resume. Our view, the blockade was a forcing function that accelerated plans already underway. The old order is not coming back. So what? Defense spending meets energy security. The Gulf arms sales mark the beginning of a multi-year defense spending cycle in the region, driven by the credible threat of Iranian disruption. The OFAC advisory on toll payments ensures that commercial solutions remain off the table, leaving military deterrence as the only path forward. Gulf states will spend, and U.S. contractors will benefit. But the deeper story is the unbundling of energy security from U.S. military presence. Japan, Vietnam, and other importers are building alternative supply chains, reducing Gulf leverage over time. The arms sales keep U.S. Gulf alliances intact, but the economic foundation is eroding. Watch defense sector margins in the Gulf, rare earth processing capacity in Southeast Asia, and sanctions enforcement actions against shipping firms. The Strait closure was the catalyst. The response will reshape regional power balances for a decade.